My cat is a big Dracula. Yeah, she's furry, furry, furry. She loves to meow and she meow. Yeah. Oh my God.
Welcome to AE Double Back for May 12, 2021. I do not understand why you can't hear that music, but we can. But now it has become a source of joy to me.
You don't know
when the shows start.
Chan did not ask our consent to start the show.
We did not. Okay. Here we are.
And yet here we are.
So,
oh boy. Oh God. We always warm up for so long that you sort of imagine, I wonder if we're not going to do the show.
They got some new merch, y'all.
Sweet.
After our experience a couple weeks ago, like when the ad comes up during the show, I think, oh, you know what? I should go check to see if they got
also,
any new stuff.
I'm sure people may or may not be aware, Republic of Lucha, the store, if you are in town or in California and want to be in town, Thunder Rosa will be there. I believe it's the 23rd. With Penta and Ray, so it's a big fat fucking deal.
Thunder
Rosa. I love her.
Oh man. Oh yeah. And there's Thunder Rosa action to discuss later on.
So there was a big flap with certain people about Blood and Guts last week. I didn't think that there would be, but there's so many people saying things like, "Ugh, they really, you know, they made it worse for all of us," or some shit. I don't know, because of how dangerous it was or something. I don't know. Which is bullshit.
I mean, the most of what I heard was that the fall looked fake.
Well,
and people
are
bitching about that.
Who cares about that? I mean, I heard people getting pissed about all kinds of random things about it, but whatever. What I did hear, though, also, which I think Calder sent us this video, was someone timed the matches during AEW, did not time the picture-in-picture, which, as we know, is a chunk of the show, timed all the matches at AEW and then timed all the matches on WWE's Dynamite. All right. Whatever. What the fuck was it called? What was it called?
Yeah, WWE Dynamite.
Thank you.
Raw. Yeah.
No, we didn't. We only did it for a few months. This is what we keep forgetting. It felt like a year. It was only a few months.
It felt like every episode felt like a lifetime.
It was like not even 6 months. Okay, anyway. So, okay. They timed the Raw and Dynamite, and Dynamite has more matches in the first 30 minutes than Raw has in 3 hours. Wait, no, 90 minutes, he said, right?
It was 90 minutes. Yeah.
But it still comes out to something like 60% of the show for Dynamite is wrestling, and like, is it 20 to 30%?
I think is why we always have higher rated shows with AEW because they're giving us more wrestling and there's less to get pissed about.
There really is.
I mean, for me and Calder,
yeah, because I mean,
to get
basically
about.
The. the non-wrestling stuff over at WWE is scripted stuff that is scripted and handed to people who are not actors. Dumb. And that's so like, yeah, these are people who have spent their lives training to become professional wrestlers. And so when the show is mostly professional wrestling, wouldn't you believe it? Turns out to be a better show.
Anyways,
they're just not playing
I wanted to
the
make that clear to others in case they hadn't known of this. We are correct. We all are correct collectively that AEW rules. So there's reasons for it. And that's one of them.
Yeah.
Here's another one. Yes. It starts super strong. Nagata versus Moxley. This was special.
Boy, this felt special. And this is a separate thing that to me is so much, and not to do a fawn-a-thon, but like the fact that they actually emphasize the wrestling and love wrestling as opposed to tolerating it as a necessary like ingredient of a larger whole that they think is classier. But like, so there's that for sure, but there is a quality of humility that is at the core of AEW that says, we believe that there Absolutely. Is excellence happening outside of ourselves and we want to invite it in. And that includes like there was the stuff I was reading about what people were feeling about Moxley getting to wrestle Nagata. They were like,
yeah,
this is like unicorns. And it was a delightful
people
match.
Who don't
like, what
sign
a way
up,
to start.
For different Japanese wrestling promotions, you know, and don't pay for them. Like, you guys have like 20, I think. But for people who don't do that, they don't know some of these
I have most of them.
Different promotions that are out there and they don't see it. And so it's really cool to be able to expose your regular audience to different promotions and then different famous wrestlers.
And it's good for those promotions because like I find out about yes. like where Maki Ito came from and I go check it out and they they bring their energy in, so like now I want to watch lots
this
more.
This is a
Nagata.
Great show. I have to say, Moxley came out to Wild Thing, which I love the trogs. I love the trogs.
Oh,
so I was really excited about that because it could have been.
Trogs, pogues, pick right now.
They're very different. You can't compare, so.
Oh,
pogs.
Wimping
out.
The pogs. The super group.
Put them together.
Yeah, you put both of them, all the surviving members together.
Oh, man. Good times.
Yes, I love the trogs. So I was excited about this Wild Thing song. And it makes sense.
I thought it might have some sort of like significance, like maybe it was like Yuji Nagata song from back in the day, or maybe there was like some sort of feud between them previously and that was related. But I think it might just be that like Mox likes that song. It was like, hey, can I have this?
I think so.
And Tony Khan was like, all right.
I'll tell you exactly what happened is that Tony Khan was like putting on a jacket that he hadn't worn in a while and he reached into the pocket and the rights
to the trucks,
the rights to the trogs discography were in one of the
pockets.
It
really kind of feels like they're just like scanning what they can afford and just like what the entire music library of the world. And then just like, does anybody want this one? You want this one? You?
Because I tell you what, like having I shouldn't say real music because like themes, wrestling themes become their own thing. And, you know, like in the WWE, you know, Joe Johnson, I think, was amazing doing that and had great all these iconic songs that you do remember. But like having a song that like exists outside of wrestling, bringing it in, there is
absolutely.
A special thrill to that that hasn't gone away. You know, as a child, I was so impressed when that happened. And like now it's still great.
And Wild Thing is pretty available, I would guess. Like it's like we're getting excited almost about like hearing the needle drop on I Feel Good.
I mean, there are limits. And also a lot of those songs, like you'd think that they didn't cost much. And then you find out that it was like ungodly amounts of money involved.
Anyways, so that's just a side note, but it's a great one. We'll see if it continues. But for tonight, it was Wild Thing song. So, Moxley comes out. Yeah. Kingston's on the sidelines. Nagata has his young boy or whatever the other term is for it on the sidelines.
What's
is
the
please, what please just call him a young boy.
They referenced him as a young boy.
What are the words? What are the words for like a mentor and a mentee in Japanese that is that like in Senpai, yeah.
Yeah.
That's not what they said, but that was what I was thinking of just now.
Young
Lions.
I
think he just said, like, well, young lions are the category of definite, like, I think they used a different, like, catch-all term. Maybe they were trying to be accessible.
Well, I heard them say young boy, so.
Young lions is what.
That's
oh, they
I
might
said
okay
it.
Then if they did, because I know I heard a oh, okay. I didn't realize I didn't hear that. I heard them
they
use
might
a different
have,
term
yeah.
elsewhere. But
I mean,
yeah. So that guy was
they
there.
Could have said something and Cabana I missed boy? It because I do that all the time.
Oh yeah, but yeah.
Anyways, Nagata, Blue Justice. These are very different styles. It was just a very different style. Of course, a lot of arms to the face, strong hits and kicks. But you know, these are two guys that aren't budging and, they're both the kind of guy that's like, is that all you got? Do it again. You know, is that all you got?
Oh man.
It was pretty great. Moxley got bloody and it looked like Nagata was bloody, but it might've just been Moxley's blood.
No, it was Moxley's blood. And it was hard way. Whatever. Bloody. Like Nakata, yeah, he got him. He got him hard. That's the thing about the Japanese style. I enjoy watching it, but also I'm just terrified every time because these people's careers end because their bodies just can't take it.
Nagata's in his 50s, and he said he's going to wrestle until the 70s. Yeah. I was like, motherfucker looks good. Yeah.
He looks great. And well, this is something I think we've talked about in the past about like kind of the weird relationship we have with the destructive quality of what these people do for a living for us. And there is a horrible beauty to the fact that they like gladly destroy themselves a lot faster than they need to, faster than Randy Orton ever would, obviously. Yeah. To do that and I think that they were both probably feeling the sheer privilege of getting to do this at all, and it's the thing of like, you know, we're not gonna not hit every place in Disneyland.
Yeah,
we're gonna
I'm not
do
paying
that
money and yeah. not hitting every yeah. ride, not eating till my gut explodes.
Guess what, Space Mountain again, dude.
This was a great match. There were a couple moments in there that didn't look great, but I mean, for the most part, it was spot on. And at the end, Moxley won and he bowed to Nagata, and then Nagata bowed to him, and then they went head to head and then they raised their arms together. It was so great. I loved it.
That was,
yeah,
like that kind of show of respect. And that wasn't what I expected because they were building it up with yeah. like, you disrespected me. And then it was like, I was playing that up. I think the world
it's a
of
big
you.
Thumbs up.
oh yeah.
Same. Yeah,
absolutely.
It is always nice to see like really different styles pop up and just, you know, like, yeah, it's a See's candy box, over there at AEW. Like you poke your finger in and like, sometimes it's a nut chew and sometimes it's a truffle.
Don't poke the chocolates. What are you doing?
You read the diagram.
I mean, how else are you supposed to eat it?
On the box.
Are you poking them and then leaving alone the ones you don't want?
No, I'm eating them all.
You
I just
don't
want to
accidentally
time.
Get the one with the cherry. You want to know when it's coming.
Oh, no, I'll eat the cherry.
You poke it, you bought it.
Yeah, no. I do buy it. I just want to know ahead of time.
But you're not leaving. You're not leaving a bad one for someone
I
else.
Mean,
no. I mean, okay. Honestly, I don't really share the box.
Oh, my God.
The box is all mine.
The shame. Something I want to like highlight like with somebody who is so versed in Japanese wrestling in Moxley and somebody who is like also from there is like when they get into the fighting spirit stuff, like there's something about that is really kind of amazing where it's like this is not about strategic advancing. Like, I seriously want you to hit me super hard.
Yeah.
But so I can show you how much I have for this fight and I can find out how much you have. Like those like just give it to me really hard and mm-hmm. then I'll know if you have enough in you to beat me. Like, that stuff is really cool.
That's the stuff that, like, I respond to, and yeah. also, like, no, you don't actually, you're not supposed to actually hit each other. That's the thing.
But
that's why, you know, it's professional.
There's a little bit of that in wrestling.
With Moxley, there definitely
is. I need to go back to the chocolate thing for 1 second. Just for 1 second, okay?
okay. Yeah, no. Like, let's nobody walk away from just that with regrets.
Just for 1 second, because I realized I have on my wall something that I clipped out of a magazine. It's a big page that's like, you know, a chocolate box, right? So it's all these different chocolates. And it's just a picture of that. And they all look different. And it says, life takes exploration. So think about that. Don't poke it. Explore it.
I'm thinking about you,
yes.
an adult person, with a poster like from ripped out of a Teen Beat magazine. That's just a box of chocolates. Even if it was, who cares?
Look, there are people have vision boards. People have like little. I have lots of little confirmational mm-hmm. things all over mm-hmm. the house for myself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kate Huffman had, hopefully, still has one. Had. An absolutely phenomenal like thing on her wall that was a pop a bubble a day. It was like the size of a door, and it was a special thing to like when I would be at sketch meetings at her place, and she would kind of captain birthdays, and when you would get to pop the one on your day. Like, that really made it.
So anyway, there's more to this show.
Anyway,
yeah, we're not just wrestling. If you look hard, you'll discover we're 99%.
Yeah, if you time it right. Else.
Yes, yeah, today
our match our match time is not as good as AEW.
Look, if we're gonna go through the entire C's catalog and talk about which chocolates we would put into our own custom boxes, I am ready for that. If we want to start a Patreon and just make that the extra content, I'm here for. We'll make full hilarious. Videos.
we would have to when make our kid, own boxes to send a... to people. Is what we should do is make a little candy box of our favorite candies. And I know everyone would hate what I put in there, but I love it. And y'all just have to give us a dollar, and we'll send it to you.
Chocolate covered crickets.
No, I like Cookie Plenty's, and everyone hates it but me. Or maybe it would be hot tamales. Yeah. I don't know.
That's
which
the pink
one
and white
I throw
ones?
In there. You know.
Oh, hot tamales are good.
It would be a dealer's choice, and y'all just have to deal with it.
Yeah, it's the AE Doubleback subscription boxes. Go ahead and sign up now at AE Doubleback.
Yeah.
Turds.
Yeah, that's turds. What country we hail from, turds.
Oh, man. Turdistan.
Moving right along.
I'm sorry. I apologize to the countries that end in Stan. That was unkind.
Okay, so we've got the United States of Turds. That's where we come from. the rules are different in every turn.
Which went through a four years of bloody civil war with the Confederate
every
states
turn
of
has
turds.
Its own rules, so you know it's like you gotta really deal with it.
50 laboratories of turd democracy.
Anyway, okay. at least we have a national transportation system, which the United States of America can't say that.
Exactly. Well, transportation.
Turds got to move. All right. and you
a
know what they say
around the
fart,
country.
It's just a turd beeping for the right of way. Get out of the way.
Oh,
yeah, what?
You've never heard that?
What?
What? Oh my God. My Where boyfriend said that to me in high school, and it was, I've never forgotten it.
This is a very common Idaho expression.
But I had never heard it until Illinois. So
I'm not happy about any of this, for the record.
You're going to write it down and tell it to somebody one day. Because that happened to me.
The cameraman stays.
I've never forgotten it, and I say it.
You lived it.
Yeah, okay.
You lived it.
So anyway.
What's your life?
Moving right along to the second segment of the night, only 30 minutes in. We're doing good, guys. We're doing good.
Yeah, that's right.
We've got an Inner Circle interview backstage, and Ortiz is doing a promo. It's awesome. And he's like, that was a bitch move, Max. And someone messed up the bleep. So, yeah. And then Sammy and Hager, which I think is really funny that that's how I wrote it on my page. They both had Sammy promos, Hager, and it was okay. But Ortiz fucking knocked it out of the park. It was a thumbs up.
I really thought Hager did pretty good. Certainly for him, he did really good. I thought generally it was strong work from kind of the end of the Inner Circle bench.
Are you thumbing it up as well?
Yeah.
Okay, because I meddled it. Just because, like, yes, I did like Ortiz. I did think Sammy and Jake were fine. They're fine. It was one of those, like, they were doing what they're supposed to do, and they have the requisite energy, but it just, it is what it is.
I think certainly Sammy has better heel energy. So for him, it's a little tougher.
I don't know if Jake ever was a face. I don't remember for all the years he was in WWE. But I always did really like him as a heel, so, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, heel or face, it's better if he talks not so much. I think the others generally probably do better work as heels. But they did pretty good this time around. I think that they set things up pretty well.
We've got a Cody Rhodes announcement. Okay, this is really weird because he started going into politics. And then I realized he was addressing a go-go. And I was, and I was like, this is getting very WWF old school nationalistic kind of stuff. But then I felt like he really turned it around and it became kind of an emotional, sweet promo. I mean, the other parts of it were so amazing that I'm like, God, he's good, man. I was so ready not to like it, but
this was the point. We were talking about it before the show. This is the point where I said, dear God, this sounds like dialogue from the Young Rock show. Because the whole conceit is that he's running for president in 2032. And so, you know, he's just being very, you know, like, I learned lessons.
It's a great show, by the way. If people haven't watched it, just
I believe American
watch all of it.
It's very enjoyable.
Look, we've been this route before with The Apprentice. Let's not do that again.
See, that's the thing. That's the thing is that, like, I like the show. It's an Inochka Khan show, and I've always been a fan of her stuff. Just even pretending, the fictionalizing The Rock running for president. I like him. I like him a lot.
Not funny.
No more celebrities.
Yeah. Not funny.
No more celebrities as president.
Reagan was terrible. Trump was terrible.
Doing the patriotism thing is just like, I guess it's essentially innocuous because they're attacking Anglo-American relations. I think there are probably more compelling angles to take.
I always get a little uncomfortable with the nationalistic boost of, you know, sports in general sometimes, but
yeah,
wrestling can go there. I mean, that's definitely what it did in the 80s, you know, and you chant USA. you know, for all your favorite wrestlers, because everybody else was from somewhere else, right? And that's weird. So, and that's definitely not how I want, I don't know, just doesn't matter what I have to say about it.
No, no, it's, I mean, it does, I felt the same way, but I also feel like Cody, the rest of the people are real smart about this. They do understand that their audience is a great deal of them are comprised of people like us who are, you know, who sort of get that and are decent human beings, and
tribalism.
We're kind of over the jingoistic thing. So when they do that, it's a guy from Britain, and so it's not a real big deal. Yeah, and he wasn't. There was no, I don't recall there being like shouts of USA or anything like that.
There was that,
and then he's sort of like,
there was USA chanting. When
he
first started,
because he was talking about like, when would being American be so bad or something like this, and I'm like,
But then, yeah, then he brought it around. Like when he started talking about segregation, I was like, all right, hold on.
And they were like, and they were like, we found a Black Lives Matter shirt in the audience. Pull it up.
But then when he started talking about his daughter, I'm like, you know what? Yeah, I really like that. That's solid.
That was the best place that they probably could have taken it, because that's kind of unassailable. Yeah. Like where he got to, that was, you know, a personal and therefore potent, in a way that, like, pretending to get upset with British incursions.
It was funny too, because he's like, so Okogo, you're getting paid with, you know, these greenbacks, you know, you're not chasing the English dream. You're here, man. You're getting, you know, you got a visa from our government. I just like funny little things like that, where it's like, yeah, if someone really, really didn't like it, they wouldn't be here, clearly. But
no,
but yeah, but he did, like, to have gotten out of it, like, I'm going to have a biracial daughter, and I love that. And I love that she's going to have all these aspects of who she is, and she's going to, like, be connected to that and be powered by that. Like, yeah. Like it got
to someplace. I thumbs it up. Mm-hmm. Even if it made zero sense at all, it was still good.
And the big news that for Sunday, one night only, Cody is going to be the American Dream.
Yeah, which probably means more. It doesn't mean as much to you guys, because, like, you're not as invested in the legacy of Dusty Rhodes and all of that.
I don't have an emotional pull, but I recognize, like, him as one of the greats, and I, you know, I get that it's like a big thing to lay claim to any of that.
Yeah. Here's the thing, like, talking about it, I feel like I should give it a thumbs up, but when I watched it, wrote down thumbs in the middle. And so I gotta honor that. I gotta stick with it.
Well, you know, as it says, on our artfully designed, Twitter, logo, thumb your heart.
Well, it's thank you at very this much. Point, I just want to let all of our listeners know there is no way we're going to be done with this podcast in any reasonable amount of time. So if you need to come back later.
Not at all. Not at all.
you realize they could pause this at any point. We'll see beginning how long the show is.
I'm adjusting expectations. If you need to take a pee break,
just know that you could.
I think if you could disguise the running time of our episodes, it would be a big boost to our listenership.
Here's the thing. I'm happy to whip through any of these, because I have short and concise thoughts.
I don't.
Well, that may be true, but I have a lot of AEW mugs that I want to talk about.
I got some random ass shit I need to talk about that's tough. In my room.
Save that. Save the mugs for our Patreon. Save the stuff in your room for the OnlyFans channel that we have.
This next match is really funny. Great.
Okay.
So the SCU, they have a little promo prior to this match. It's really good, but it's an SCU versus Young Bucks match. And they keep reminding us that if they lose, that they break up. So we're not really sure what's going to happen at the top of this match, but you kind of know. Anyway, so the Young Bucks, they are wearing these gold headbands. Matt's got that beady one. Their hot dogging is so funny. Yeah. I love hot dogging so much. I loved it.
They really the gear that they were wearing the Young Bucks were wearing, like like that golden era of this movie Taxi Cab is driven by a foreigner and therefore it looks like really crazy inside it, is like what was on the outside of the Young Bucks tonight.
They keep up in the ante as far as like whatever they're wearing. This was a fantastic match. I was thinking to myself, if this is going to be the last match the SCU is together for, then we're going to see some really great stuff. And we did. It was fantastic. Yeah. At one point, Daniel's head went into a ring post and his head started pouring blood. And I mean, pouring like out of a pitcher.
Oh, man.
I was like, did they really plan that? Because that doesn't look right. You know, like, no fucking way.
I don't know. He looked murdered.
Yeah. The thing is, you gig yourself, and like sometimes it you cut a little too deep accidentally, and or maybe that was it. Maybe they're like, you know what, this is my last shot. I'm going to drip. I'm going to gush.
He pulled a Randy the Ram Robinson or whatever it was from Wrestler. Like, R.I.P.
There was a lot of near wins. Kazarian did a really cool double pin and did its full body drop thing. I don't know what it was called. It was good.
That's a Styles Clash.
I'd never seen it.
You don't remember the Styles Clash?
What boy?
From your boy.
Styles.
Oh my God, AJ I don't Styles. Remember him doing that.
That's his finisher.
God, it's been too long. I miss AJ Styles.
Yeah.
I love AJ Styles. That's what AEW is really missing.
Mm.
God, he's the best.
There are yeah, still man. Some names that I would love to see make it over.
Yeah, if they could steal AJ and like, Asuka, that
it would be crazy
okay.
if that was ever possible because they're huge stars over there. But man, I would love it. And I know that Tony Khan secretly is doing all of this for me. Yeah.
And Shinsuke Nakamura.
Oh, fuck yeah. That would be awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Kevin Owens.
Sami Zayn.
Sami Zayn. Yeah.
Basically
sure.
everybody.
Free agent Daniel Bryan? Absolutely, yep. Yeah.
Anyway, mm-hmm. so like it was
okay.
There's a lot of back and forths, but God, it really sucked because it looked like Daniels was gonna get another win, but Nick Jackson interfered and then they cold sprayed his eyes and he's like bloody as shit and they fucking spray him. He still kicks out though.
They didn't even have to spray him. They just had to like give him like 3 or 4 seconds for
but
the
like
blood to fill up his eyes, and he was just as blinded.
And he kicks out, mm-hmm. and the audience goes fucking crazy because it looks like he should be dead 100 times over, and he just won't go. And so it was really cool. They finally did a double kick, and Kazarian tried to save it, but Nick stopped him. So they lost. And it's like, what does this mean? And then there was this, I guess they showed us a moment that happened during the commercial break where they were hugging each other. And I'm like, what does this mean? I thumbsed it up.
Double rainbow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, your cold, dead heart responded to this one.
Look, I'm not saying the entire show was bad. I'm just saying there were some parts that I did not care for.
AEW embraces blood to a fault. So like it could get monotonous if it doesn't get like too gross for you. Like you could be like blood again. But they find variations. In this case, they played up how expensive and how nice the Young Bucks shoes were, only for Christopher Daniels to bleed like a stuck pig all over them.
And afterwards, like Kingston in the later and Moxley stages. Destroyed the Elite's dressing room because they were totally disgusted by what they had seen, what bad boys they were.
And in classic Kingston style, at the very end there, he's like, yeah, go into the bathroom. Blow it up, man.
It's like, fucking asshole.
Like the finish after destroying this is just go poop in thumbs their toilets up. A lot.
Yeah. Man. I think wrestling going into the movies has a checkered history at best in terms of quality, but a Mox and Eddie buddy movie of any kind would win all the Oscars.
So then we have a Christian Cage interview. It was better. I mean, really, what have we seen from this guy other than interviews? We had one match. I'm just not that into it. I know he's an old school favorite, but whatever. He was interrupted by Matt Sydal, who is he's challenging him for next week. So they're going to wrestle next week. Matt Sydal was okay. He's a much better wrestler than he is a talker. This whole thing, I gave it a middle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, I went straight down. And that's the thing is it hurts my heart because I love Christian. I do like Matt Sydal in the ring. All of this was like, I understand we need it. And I don't hate this. This was just like, it had to be there so we could talk about it next week.
All right. So then we got Orange Cassidy versus Pac. The Pixies are playing. So that's a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. And the Death Triangle comes out with Pac. Gotta love it. This is a pretty fun match. The personalities between the two, always fun to see how Orange Cassidy's gimmick plays against people. Yeah.
It's Pac a great dynamic.
Did three shotgun drop kicks during this match, which is insane.
It was real fun too, because like the deal was like he's trying to do his Black Arrow finisher, and Cassidy keeps just like rolling away. So he was too far out, and so like all he had to do that, so that then he could try and set up again for the Black Arrow, and then he would just like roll away, and like the ways that Orange Cassidy comes up with to turn wrestling psychology into this sort of slacker thing.
Yeah. He rolled away, but then rolled under Pac when Pac was on the top rope and just was like laying there with his hands behind his head. And just like gave him a thumbs up and a smile. Fucking loved it.
Delightful.
There was a lot of great Orange hijinks here apart from what he did like as moves, like the sunglasses stuff.
There was a moment when
solid.
Pac did like a power bomb and it looked like he like nailed his neck, and then it looked like Aubrey was concerned, and I made this note. I don't know what's real. It all looks real to me. And so then when something looks really real, I'm like, is it though? I don't know.
It looks like it might be legit for a long time.
Yeah. And based on the booking, I'm reasonably certain that it was all planned and it's all fine.
The in-ring physician is there dealing with Orange, and Pac is just like pacing back and forth. And then Don Callis distracts Aubrey. And then Omega comes up behind Pac and hits him in the head with the belt. So then they're basically both Orange Cassidy and Pac are being counted out. So then nobody wins. So then Omega Yeah. Right. It's like, we have the day off then. Woo, we don't have to do this match then. Woo, we're going to go on a road trip. And Shivani interrupts being like, so Tony Khan just said that you'll have to wrestle both Orange and Pac. Oh, God. And Omega does that scared heel thing. He's like, nope, going back to Winnipeg. Go through the heel tunnel. The heel tunnel. I just fucking love this whole thing.
I loved that so much of like this power move of like, I'm going to go out in strength by saying, guess what, fuckers? Yeah. I'm going to go back to Winnipeg.
It works on every level.
It's great. So great. I'll tell you what I loved especially about this portion of this segment is that they did the actual work as heels and like as a show to make me understand why Aubrey doesn't see and therefore disqualify. Like that's you have to offer and you get to offer a distraction. You get to do something hilarious or something crazy in order to set that moment up. And this, you know, they don't always do it, but this time they did. And I appreciated that. I appreciate them doing that for me and having that level of respect, at least this one time.
It should be every time.
We've got a locker room backstage promo because the Young Bucks and the Good Brothers are pissed off because they see what happened to their dressing room.
Circle.
One of them is wearing a shirt that says Good Brothers Summer. The tie-dye.
I did not notice that.
Go to Shop Impact.
The Young Bucks were like, being selfless Christian men, we're going to be selfish now. We're going to do something for ourselves. And basically, they challenged Moxley and Kingston to fight at Double or Nothing. And Matt was so good during this whole promo. God, he was so good. Thumbs up.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I middled it.
Ooh.
The Varsity Blonde somehow made it to number one.
I don't pay attention to that stuff.
I did not. I did though watch Dark Side of the Ring this week, which was Brian Pillman.
Cool.
And that was real interesting. And Pillman Jr. came across really well. And I also thought like, wow, he's getting himself over. That's a weird way to do it, but more power to you, man.
You do you.
I think like every wrestler like would hope that they have like something organic that shapes like what their persona is, and you know, like for an awful lot of wrestlers, there's something awful that is a part of that. Like he's hardly alone there.
Indeed.
Then we've got. Yeah. A promo. It's backstage. It's Hangman Adam Page and the Dark Order. I wrote Dark Room. Why? Anyways, in the Dark Order.
If there was a faction that was amateur photographers hanging out in a dark room,
if it wasn't infringing on any copyright, I would definitely have something called Dark Room, and the tagline would be like, "My whole life is a dark room," or it would just be one big dark room, one or the other.
I mean, if there's a dark room, like you know who's probably in it, cutting a promo, asking people to knock on his door.
No, it's only Lydia Deetz.
Good old
ever.
Alistair. Oh, I'd love him to.
Anyway, so Hangman Adam Page in the Dark Order. Hangman Adam Page dropped in the rankings to number 5, and Five was like, come on, Adam, being five ain't so bad.
I also made that specific note because that delighted the shit out of me. Ugh.
Well, John Silver had the winning moment for me.
Paige is basically saying, he's basically telling Brian Cage to leave Team Taz and fight him at Double or Nothing. And then, of course, he made a pun out of it, and John Silver just has a hilarious reaction to it.
Did you do that on purpose, Adam?
That's the name
of the promotion.
Smart.
Oh,
he's so good. So good at gushing excitedly about anything. Yeah.
Oh God, I can't not give these guys a thumbs up. Even at their worst, they're still just
being a 5 ain't so bad.
you know.
Yeah. I mean, it's just too perfect.
They're always like they are always thinking and looking for those things. I think still about like comedy advice I got about like you pick your game and you wait for your pitch. You ignore anything that is not your pitch, but when your pitch comes,
I want
you knock it out of there.
That says being a 5 ain't so bad. I mean that he can build a whole career on that.
So like that would be the thing. Like if he was in an improv show and he was silent,
we would
for
pimp him
29
for
minutes
sure.
until he got that opportunity. Like coming along. Oh boy.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, that's the group game thing is you have one thing and you bang it out. And because everyone's timed it real well, it's like bang, 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 bang. And every single one of them hits hard because y'all work together so great.
Yeah. What a great unit. I've been missing them.
But, you know, we got all these other factions to deal with. For example, the next match.
Oh, boy.
Well, it's not a match. I'm sorry. It's a... Basically, the pinnacle has the ceremony or something.
It's a segment.
That's it, coronation.
It's a coronation.
MJF comes out with two ladies and he's wearing a crown. Side note, I don't like the ladies thing. I get it, but I don't like it. It gets worse, but it starts bad. MJF gets on the mic and he's calling everybody mouth-breathing pores. I died laughing. Mouth breathing pores.
Oh, wonderful.
They were number one on cable. AEW's number one last week, beating WWE. So that's fucking great.
They were just like number one overall.
Yeah, yeah. Not just WWE because they've been consistently beating NXT in the ratings, but to actually be the number one show on cable. Obviously, they're not going up against the NBA or anything this week.
It's
but
great. So that was pretty awesome.
That's pretty great. It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's the devil god now.
Yeah.
So Tully got on the mic, and this is where it gets worse. He said, "We got five of the greatest looking women in the city." So it's just basically a line of women standing behind them. And I was like, I hate this. Nope. I hate that.
I will say they could have made them a lot. They could have had them dressing up a lot more skankily, sluttily, like
in
with like, you know,
or something.
Smaller clothes. And they're all wearing sort of like black dresses.
Yeah.
I feel like this is another one of those things where like in the 80s or in the late 90s during the Attitude Era, because like there was the Godfather who was literally a pimp who brought out hoes every fucking show.
It's
so
like
this
I
was
get
sort
it.
Of like a nod to that concept, but still like class it up a little bit.
I know I'm
what
not
it,
supposed
what
to
what?
Like it.
Yeah, I don't like it, but I think.
But I mean, I just, ugh.
Yeah. Yeah.
It reminds me of this thing that I don't remember who said it, but somebody had said you can't really make an anti-war movie.
Yeah.
That like you can purport to be coming out against it and to be showing it in a bad light, but you inherently are going to make it like glorious and exciting. And so like it's tough then like in the same vein to use something like that and then to kind of connote the right thing if that's what you're meaning to do. If you're trying to channel something, but then to have some kind of an ironic distance,
it gets lost
even
in translation.
Can't.
Tully gives there's all this stuff going on, and then you hear this honk 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 honk, and then Sammy, Ortiz, and Hager roll up in a vehicle that has a trailer, and the trailer has this graphic on it that says "little bit of the bubbly." And you're like, what's going on? And then you hear Jericho's voice. Basically, MJF is like, we don't have, you know, we can't, we're not going to, there's no rematch because, you know, several of your guys are out and Jericho will never see him again.
Before we hear his voice, I don't know if you saw it. I saw it immediately and I was like, that can't be right.
I didn't see it.
Is that Jericho in there poking his head out of the side?
It looked like that to me.
It was absolutely that. And he kept going. He kept doing that. No. The front on shot where you see, Sammy and Hager, you look a little bit further past and Jericho is sticking his head out looking for his cue. But his head stays out. He doesn't just like pop his head out and pop it back in. Huh. It stays out. And I guess he didn't realize that the camera was going to get the shot of him, but it was very clearly him. And I was like, oh, well, you kind of, it was fine for the people in the crowd because they couldn't see him. But if watching on TV, there's Jericho's head there.
Who's the bigger audience? The people watching hopefully at home or the people hopefully in person in Jacksonville, Florida?
So Jericho's voice comes out of the trailer and then you just hear him and then he comes out and he's got his arm in a brace. And MJF's like, my answer is still no. I'm not going to rematch you guys. And they're like, okay, if you say so. And so then Sammy has like, I thought it was a horn, but it was a fire hose. And supposedly it's champagne, but it might have been water. I don't know. But basically spraying all of the pinnacle with this powerful jet of water. And they're just flying all over the place and getting knocked down. It was fucking hilarious. They're all soaked. And then MJF, at the end of all of this, he says, you know what? Fuck this. Yeah, we'll do it. We'll wrestle you at Double or Nothing. It'll be a stadium stampede. But,
oh boy.
If we win, then the Inner Circle has to break up forever. And it's like, that's some high stakes. So they haven't accepted the challenge yet, I guess, but they probably will. I thumbsed it up.
Uh-oh.
So before you get all stink eye on it.
Yeah, and I'll line my thumb up like next to yours, shoulder to shoulder, against this onslaught that's coming.
Okay, well let's just do a count. This is how it was written down in my notes. Oh no, I am not down with this. No.
Well, we know you like vehicles and wrestling. I know that.
No.
Okay, I get the point.
No.
I don't know.
Well, you're gonna
how many no's was that?
You're gonna have to do the count for me.
Yes, I hate when cars get into wrestling. I understand that it's been a long fucking time. I've been watching wrestling a long time, and yes, the iconic moment of Stone Cold spraying beer on Vince McMahon was 1999 or something like that. It's been more than 20 years. It's fine that it comes back around and let's do this again. Plenty of people who are watching right now weren't even alive when that happened, but to me, not only is it just sort of like a redux of a thing that's been done before, it's something that is very WWF, even very Attitude Era, just like a bygone time that I don't want to come back. For all the wonderful things that did happen then, there was some stuff that was just terrible. I never liked the beer truck spot. A couple years later, they did it with Kurt Angle. It was kind of funny. He did a milk thing where like he had a milk truck and sprayed the people, the heels in the ring.
That's gross.
This thing here, just like, ugh, it feels so, it just feels so New York. I don't like it at all. I get that. That's
we're just doing some New York style wrestling here.
New York, as in
WWE.
We take our slice of pizza and fold it in half.
You can't say New York and expect someone like myself to know what the fuck you mean. I don't know how it's divided up.
I continue to be incensed by this. Like Jericho is the guy that brings in these ideas, and yeah, it is. I keep saying that, like, I want to see different stuff, and this is different from everything else on the show. It's just one of those things that I do not like. Flat out do not like it.
You can have your feelings.
So, yeah.
Because we're moving on, and I will have my feelings. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy. Oh, no.
Yeah. You know it's coming.
Oh. I see what's coming.
Oh, I'm sad.
All right. All right. Chan, we need to ally.
Now you'll know what it feels like.
As strange.
So, JR has an interview with Britt Baker, right? And she says, I'm the face, heart, soul, and pulse of women's division. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm so infuriated because Thunder Rosa beat you. So how is it that they keep giving Britt all the focus all the time? I hate this so much because, again, she is the only woman that gets any attention during Dynamite. You know, they'll throw a bone to somebody here and there, but they keep coming back to Britt Baker, and I don't get it. Thunder Rosa is way more fun to watch. She's fucking awesome. And so I thumbs this down. Because she should have been the one getting the interviews. They haven't done anything with her the match that comes after this. But, like, they haven't done anything with her, like, since that. Since she beat Britt Baker. Pisses me off.
I mean, I think that there are different reasons why that would be, that at least makes sense to me. Not that they are necessarily reasons that make me delighted that Rosa is
tape something,
like, less on the show than maybe. You know? Yeah, I mean, I get it. I mean, I think, like, she's just not a full timer. And so there's going to be
them every fucking week. The Good Brothers.
That's true. I mean, I'm sure they would love it if they were spotlighted half as much as Rosa has.
I mean,
has
I
been,
feel but. Like they've gotten way more attention than she has. I mean, she's gotten some pretty big matches, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, she might have match of the year, so, like, that's not nothing.
I 100% understand what you're saying, and also I love Britt, so there you go.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly thought she was great in this. Like, talk about, like, waiting for your pitch and slamming it. Like if she would get, like, a millimeter of compliment, she would stretch it out, like, yeah. Like if he says, like, yeah, and you're pretty smart, I'm a genius.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's so good.
Yeah, this is all just great classic heel work.
So then we've got a Thunder Rosa match against Jasmine Allure. Mm-hmm.
Woof.
Oh boy.
All of that, the whole package there just smacks of diva era wrestling, and I'm not on board. Although, okay. Like, hopefully, like, yeah, she gets better and becomes a thing, and I'm all for her succeeding. But
I think the takeaway is that that modern Thunder Rosa demolished the old style
good.
Here.
Indeed.
The audience was doing the whole AC/DC. Whoa, 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 Thunder. If that isn't a subtle message to Tony Khan to get that fucking, you know. Yeah, you know,
just,
they're like,
just get AC/DC, just do it.
Throw them in the back room.
Oh, man. No, there's no denying it. Thunder Rosa is incredible.
Yeah.
I would love it dearly if she would be, like, right at the very tippity top of the whole company. There's no doubt about her excellence.
She was saying, this is my time to the... Oh, she won, of course. She was afterwards saying, "This is my time," into the camera. And I was like, "Fuck yeah, man." She's like, "I beat you." I'm talking about Britt. And it's like, yeah, she's like, she's basically saying, like, you know, this was stolen. Like, basically all the attention. And I agree with her. It was stolen from her. It was, for whatever reason, immediately thrown to Britt. And I didn't like it. But I liked the match, so thumbs up.
Yep. Thumbs up. I imagine it's just a contract thing. Like, they probably can't put the belt on her because she's still under contract, and like, they don't want to, you know, do something and then just have NWA just sort of yank her away, you know, that kind of thing. So like, it is a bummer.
Did we all thumb it?
Yeah.
We've got Jade Cargill and Shivani in an interview. You know, she basically is talking about management. She's just listening, but she hasn't made any decisions. She's like, "I'm that bitch." And it doesn't hit the same anymore, but it can be a good tagline, I guess, you know. At least it's something. So I middled it.
Yeah. I like it. She just needs momentum that is not happening this second. This is just this very nebulous area, and I get hung up on these things, but like, her overriding thing right now is, everyone wants to represent me and I don't feel I need representation. And personally, I'm inclined to agree, because I really can't fathom what representation does for you in the context of being a wrestler
other than
in a wrestling
speaking
company,
for you, so that you don't have to sound like an idiot.
Because they vaguely talk about, like, "I'm going to make you money and like, I'm going to get you all the big matches." And
that is an interesting thing that they focus on in AEW that they don't in WWE. Cause like, obviously the idea, if you have a manager, is that is what they do. They, you know, like, make deals for you and, you know, like, negotiate contracts and get you booked on stuff. And like, they don't really focus on that in WWE. So it is kind of fun to see it here as, you know, like, sort of the equivalent of a sports agent.
Yeah. And like, I appreciate that aspect of it, but that really opens up a can of worms, because it's like, well, if that's what you do, then what on earth does that look like? What is the A to B of, like, "I'm going to arrange a match between Jade Cargill and Red Velvet, so I'm going
to
do what?" It's like, yeah, Jade is right. She can probably keep the 10% and just ask for
some people
a match
are naturally
herself.
Persuasive, and if you're that person, I don't know. Yeah, exactly.
Or if you're that bitch,
I middled
indeed.
It.
Indeed.
Yeah, I did too. Even though I appreciated the return of Mark Sterling, and I would love to see him be a regular presence.
Mark Sterling is the only reason I'm giving it thumbs in the middle, because like, oh yeah, right, that guy. I would like to see him show back up again, although I don't think he's a good match for Jade. I still think that Vicky Guerrero is the correct choice, but I imagine they still do have someone on the horizon that they haven't introduced yet that they're going to make.
Yeah, I don't know. Not Sterling, because Sterling goes with a slimy worm heel. Like, that is not
next
what she
we've
is.
Got, I don't know if we should do this separate from the match. It's like a Darby Allin promo.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
Okay.
Yeah, you know what? Let's do it separately.
Okay, so Darby Allin has his promo. Enough thing. Remember, he was thrown down the stairs, and he's like, I came straight to Seattle after that. I don't have time to think about it. And so he's driving around and just like showing us where he used to hang out. And then he's like talking about Marone. He's like, "Look at me, you generic son of a bitch." I was like, this does not have the same feel as his other promos. And he's not the greatest talker. I middled it.
interesting. I actually thumbed this one up because I do like when they mix it up. And, you know, this is a standard wrestling promo, but, you know, in the style of his of his movies. And so I was just like, yeah, you know what? I'm for this.
I was amused because it was sort of like, here's Darby Allin with a cop's camera crew.
Yeah.
like driving around. Oh, yeah, we've gotten calls from this area a number of times. You know, like, this is never a good situation. You know, we're going to have to be on our toes. incidentally, I would love it if there was just a Darby patrol responding to stuff. Like, I think... You know, if we're gonna abolish the police and reimagine what justice and enforcement might look like, if it looks like Darby Allin, we might just be all right.
where did you guys thumb it?
It's enough for me.
It's enough for me too. Miro versus Darby Allin. I love Miro's entrance. He always looks like a street fighter, all 8 bits of him. I don't know. And this time it really looked that way. He's got these red boxers and these boots. Like, I don't know. He looked just like a street fighter. And Allin changed his makeup. It was like half his face, but it was the bottom half of his face. And then this is always funny when people paint ribs on themselves. And they paint like 100 ribs. It's like, you don't have that many ribs.
Well, they painted extra ribs to make absolutely sure they cannot suck their own dick.
So, this was like a really interesting matchup because you have, you know, Moreau being able to toss him around and then Darby's rubber body, the way he does this little ragdoll thing.
Oh,
it's like a really good visual and it's fun to watch.
It was like when he had the match with Cage. It was the same way.
Yeah, this is another great matchup of types.
Important to note, really the Scorpio Sky took out Sting. Like, knocked him in the knees.
Mm-hmm.
And he was down, couldn't help.
He is just a magnet for trouble.
I don't know what it is. Maybe it's his bat.
What it is.
Maybe it's his constant threats to everybody.
You think the chickens are coming home to roost
theory.
Somehow?
That's a theory.
He's reaping what he sowed for many, many years.
10 years from now. But basically, so Darby, there's some back and forth on chokeouts, right? So Darby is choking Moreau, and Moreau's like, I couldn't figure out why he wasn't just running his back into something. And he finally did, because Darby Allin was on his back. Well, anyway, Moreau catches a coffin drop, which still sounds like a cough drop to me. And I was like, there's no way I can possibly believe that Darby Allin can overpower Miro. Darby Allin's trying to do his like tricky little, you know, pin thing, last minute pin thing. And Miro is too huge and too strong.
I will say that cannonball tope suicida he does
is
nuts. And that's the sort of thing that makes me say, like, yeah, he is legitimately a TNT champion and he legitimately could beat Miro.
That didn't affect Miro. And then, you know what I mean?
It's like, I was like, oh, God.
More for Darby Allin in the sense that, like, it's like, oh, God, that hurt you. Hopefully it hurt the other guy as much. But with Miro, it really didn't look like it. And sure as shit, Miro basically choked Darby Allin out. And it was a technical win. And so Miro won. And I was like, that's appropriate. There was no shenanigans in this. There's no side interference. I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was all around like a pretty good call. And I liked the general kind of narrative within the match of like, this is like a fated night. Like everything that has been working is just not working this time. This move is not happening the way it normally seems to happen. Miro is ready for this move. Miro is unaffected by that move. So you're like, oh man, this is all accumulating. It's starting to, and then even still, like there is that resurgence, and they really probably cashed out at about the right time for Darby with minimal cost to him. And Miro is going to be so much fun with a belt on him for a while.
You know, Lance Archer came out and he's challenging him. So we might see them next week. Jake the Snake was like pretending like he was holding back Lance Archer. And we all know there's no fucking way that he could possibly do anything remotely close to that. But it was fun. I thumbsed it up.
Oh, yeah.
As did I.
Oh.
I mean, here's the thing. Like, despite all my bitterness and bile, it was still an 82% show.
Ooh.
Wow. It was a good show. There's a lot of great stuff in it. So.
Yeah. Am I right? Life takes exploration.
And if you just crop out that one grumpy thumb, like then imagine what the number jumps up to.
If this was the Caller Teresa show,
never.
I mean, everything would be like glowing reviews. There'd be rainbows out of our butts.
We would die of radiation sickness.
Yeah. For coming out of your butt. That's.
Oh yeah.
Anyways.
Anyway. Find us on Twitter at AE Doubleback or on Instagram AE_Doubleback. Thank you for listening.
Let us know if you want boxes from us. We won't tell you what's in them.
Oh yeah. maybe nothing. Yeah. Maybe they're empty boxes.
Box within a box.
You need that.
In which case,
oh no,
it turns into a jewelry/desk set.
Ooh, Russian nesting boxes.
Save like a billion boxes and use them in drawers.
I save what in my imagination are good boxes that show up. Yeah,
useful boxes.
Like if it's like it's tiny. Tiny boxes or oddly like dimensioned boxes. I like if it's what like this weird, the strangest box contained the coffee I got the other day. Because it was three containers of Folgers coffee. Are we still going?
After dark.
God damn it. I'm trying to play the song and it's not working.
We're still going.
I was like, they sent me.